You're listening to the Nuff Said podcast, real strategies for customer success.
Hey everyone, this is Chris, co-founder of Nuff Said, and on today's show, we spoke with Ferdinand at Reveal about using VOC data when building your product. And what we learned is, one, VOC is about what customers say, not what they do. Two, the best way to operationalize VOC is to centralize customer feedback first, and then organize the feedback at the right moment in the customer journey. So for example, all feedback from onboarding is organized together in one place. And then finally, number three, set the expectation with the entire company that decisions should be made with this data. That's the TLDR. Let's jump in.
Yeah, my name is Ferdinand Gutsen. I'm based in Amsterdam in the Netherlands in Europe, and I am the CEO and co-founder of Reveal. Essentially, what I'm most passionate about is helping companies build the products that their users actually want to use. And that's what Reveal is all about. It helps you essentially centralize all your insights from customer feedback, customer research in one place, spot opportunities for improvement in your product experience, and prioritize your decisions and actions. And it's something that kind of came from all the challenges I faced. My background is in marketing and growth, often product-led growth, so the intersection of commercial and product. And I was always very often the person tasked with leading customer segmentation and personas and general customer understanding and empathy in earlier stage companies. So yeah, that's essentially what I do.
Yeah, and thanks for joining us, Ferdinand. And our current podcast theme is around VOC, voice of customer, which I think will probably is very near and dear to your heart. So maybe let's start off by defining VOC, because it does mean different things to different companies. And I think you've probably seen that at Reveal. So what does VOC mean to you and to your company? And what's included in voice of customer and what's not?
Yeah, I think it's one of those floating definitions. So it'll be very hard for me to give a definition that there'll definitely be some people listening going, oh, it's not just that, or it's not all that. So I try to just really take it at really kind of a point blank definition, which is the voice of the customer is the voice of the customer, just is not necessarily always what you hear, it's also what you read. So any thoughts, opinions, ideas, perspectives that your customers directly share with you, I would essentially differentiate it a bit from what your customers do, which is the kind of stuff that you would observe. It's really what your customers share. That's how I would generally define it.
So in that definition, sounds like you explicitly filtered out what customers do. So anything having to do with observed behavior, usage of the product, all of those things would not be included in VOC.
Well, I'm sure some companies might do. I think there's definitely, it's kind of like a Venn diagram where it overlaps. I think when you're doing all forms of user testing, there is going to be a heavy overlap between the doing and the saying and the sharing. But I think if you want to make a clear-cut distinction on what voice of the customer is, it is, for me at least, what's heavily focused on what the customer is sharing. I'm sure you can come up, there are definitely going to be exceptions where the doing and the sharing and the doing and the speaking will overlap heavily, but I think that's a clean distinction to make, to simplify it.
Nice. And then how does one collect VOC data? Like, how would you do it, or how would you recommend others do it?
Yeah, I think voice of the customer, everyone's talking to their customers. I think that's something that I think was 95% of companies talk to their customers on a regular basis. So if you have a sales team, or if you have a customer support team or a customer success team, and even if you don't do any research and you don't do any kind of proactive customer learning initiatives, you're definitely talking to your customer. So I think very often it's less a matter of collecting and it's more a matter of managing. If you're talking in sales to customers, are you writing down their feedback? Are you writing down the reasons you're winning or losing deals? If you're getting customer support tickets, are you reading through those regularly? Are you using, I don't know, tools where you can essentially manage customer conversations, read up on what they said, and maybe derive insights from later? So I think a lot of companies, they put the bar very high, and then that kind of maybe scares them away, thinking, oh, now I have to start sending out surveys and feedback forms, and I need to start having interviews. And all of those are very valid ways to access VOC data and to get an understanding of your customers. But I think for most companies, a great starting point is just to think about, when am I already speaking to customers and how can I make the most of those conversations, whether that's recording sales conversations or just making sure that key learnings are written down in the CRM afterwards. Or like I said, poring over support tickets at the end of a month or quarter and trying to see what the key insights from the customers are there.
Okay, so it's not, you know, the basic theme is you're talking to your customers all the time, so just make sure you're documenting what you learn from those conversations. So let's just say you do a good job of documenting those conversations. You record your Gong calls, you record your sales calls via Gong or a similar tool. You are tracking your support tickets and monitoring what customers are asking about. How do you know that VOC is working? So what do you do with all that data to make it actually useful for your org?
Yeah, I think that's always a difficult one. It's also true to because any kind of form of research at the end of the day is you're doing it for a reason. You're trying to learn certain things and you're trying to improve. I like to call it the product experience because I generally don't believe that products and experience can be separated. You can't have a crappy product with a great experience and you can't have a great experience with a crappy product. They go hand in hand. And I think that's whether it's that or maybe your marketing campaigns or your commercial initiatives or your customer service processes and principles. I think you're trying to learn about your customer in order to make certain changes and take certain actions and make certain decisions. And those decisions will have outcomes. So I think it's very difficult to say I'm doing a VOC program. Is it a success? It's always a matter of, well, what did you do with those insights? And that's also kind of the premise on which we built Reveal. And it's something that I'm very passionate about is that there's a lot of resources out there helping you gather this VOC data and a lot of resources helping you store it and manage it. But the hardest part is still, how do you act on it? I think one of the stats is that something like, I think 93% of designers talk to customers before they actually design anything. So that the practice of talking to customers is very well adopted in most companies, at least most modern companies, but 60% of companies struggle to take action on their customer insights. That's a majority. And I think that's the key is that when you go out and do, when you start taking VOC more seriously from a strategic perspective, that you have a clear idea on how you expect to use those insights. And then you need to see where those insights actually helped drive decisions that drove improvements. So if it's a product focused approach, then you're going to have to look at maybe your adoption or your activation rates or your retention rates or usability or user metrics around certain features. It really boils down. So I really think it's important to go from the larger VOC collection approach to narrowing down to the different use cases. And then on the basis of those use cases, have the right metrics, which wouldn't change regardless of whether it's VOC analytics data or anything else.
Okay, so what I heard was, because of your background, you have a natural orientation to use VOC to make product decisions. So I think we'll spend a little more time going deeper into that. So can we talk a little bit about specific decisions that you would make differently if you had access to a repository of VOC data? Can you just give us a couple examples of decisions that, you know, you would recommend a company does differently being armed with a ton of customer data?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, it also depends how broadly you perceive VOC. So if you're only talking about your current customers or also potential customers and leads and other potential customers in the market, if you have that broader scope, yeah, there's a number of things you might do differently. So I think the first thing is it's not necessarily about doing things differently. You might have gone full on gut feeling driven decision making, and you might have hit the nail on the head on every decision you've made, and you just have the best gut feeling ever. I'm not going to discount that possibility, but at least then, and that's very rare, by the way, or if impossible. But if someone does make the right decisions without necessarily using voice of the customer data, it's at the very least going to validate what you're doing. Beyond that, I'll give a really concrete example. At one of the companies I previously worked at, we had a very large feature that we were working on. It was going to be disruptive. It was going to be the absolute game changer in our market. And it was incredibly intensive, both in the design process, the validation process, and the development process. And we worked on this there was a whole bunch of discussions and everything was scoped and ready to go. And then when it was presented to the sales team, because we tried to get input from different departments, the sales team said, you know what? The thing the customers really want is single sign-on. That the number one thing blocking us from closing deals isn't some kind of fancy feature that no one's built yet. It's the fact that we don't have single sign-on, which from a designer's perspective, I'm not a designer, but I've worked closely with designers, it's probably the least sexy thing you could build a single sign-on. It's not exciting. There's out-of-the-box solutions, and it's a standard thing. But at the time, that's one of the things that had the biggest impact. We also, when I was working at Recruity, which was a applicant tracking software, one of the main features that customers wanted was the option to send an email later, that you'd send the email, but you do the send later option. It's not difficult to build. It was not crazy. And some of those things, like single sign-on, send later, they have a huge impact sometimes on your business, but they're probably not the inspirational story you're going to post on LinkedIn the next day, but that doesn't mean they're less important. And I think VOC often will help you uncover those things. And they will also help you critically validate even these big, because I think vision-driven product management is important. And I think differentiating is important and building big, exciting new things is important. But you do still need to validate not just if you should do it, but how you should do it, because even the biggest ideas can come in 100 different shapes and forms. And I think voice of the customer data can play a big role in helping validate that.
Yeah, I have to jump in, because what you're saying goes against kind of the favorite, you know, Silicon Valley saying. You know, people love to quote Henry Ford. You know, if I had asked customers what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse. So, you know, the examples that you're giving are all about companies making decisions based exactly on what customers are asking for. So how do you reconcile those two?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Henry Ford quote, starting with the fact that he never said that. I think that's maybe a good one, that there is no record of him ever saying that ever. So that's maybe the first. The second is, there's a great article in the Harvard Business Review about this, so I'm probably just paraphrasing what's in that article, because it basically summarized my thoughts. And Ford is a really good example of how that didn't work. First of all, no one would ever have asked for a faster horse. So it's just nonsense. It sounds good, but it's not really like a thing that anyone would have ever asked for. And I think the problem here is the premise of that whole quote is thinking in solutions. Whereas, you know, if a customer says, I want a faster horse, what they're saying is, I'm not moving fast enough, right? That's the real key. And that's where people say, oh, well, you know, you have lots of customers who don't know what they want, or they don't know what they're asking for. That's totally true. But they know what their problems are in life. They know what their struggles are. And I think that's it's asking the right questions makes a huge difference in the quality of your voice of the customer data. And then how you interpret the answers also plays a really major impact. So I think the key here is that, of course, you can do VOC badly. You can ask leading questions and come up with biased solutions and conclusions, and that's completely possible. But it's really... Yeah, and also just to touch upon the Ford example, actually Ford started suffering a lot in the 20s as a result of General Motors coming out and essentially outpacing them in the market. You have all kinds of quotes around, you know, make it any color as long as it's black. And that didn't work for them in the long run. It worked in the short run because they'd optimized industrial revolutionary techniques. But from a customer-led perspective, there are a lot of shortcomings in the Ford story. So I'm generally not a big fan of that quote, but I guess the key here is really understand what your customers are asking for. Because of course, when a customer says, I want this, maybe they don't want this. They say, I want X, I want this feature or whatever. I saw another tool with this feature, I want this feature. That might not necessarily be what you should build, but the reason they want it is something worth exploring and then trying to address that. I think that's the way I would look at it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're actually not too far off of the intent of the Henry Ford quote, which is basically the quote is meant to say what people ask for directly maybe isn't the underlying problem to be solved. So the thing to identify is the problem to be solved and then go build a solution for that.
Yeah. But you will only get that from asking people. So I think maybe the intent of the quote was never that far apart, but I think the way it gets used these days, I get asked that quote once a week, doing what I do, which is heavily focused on being customer-led and customer-centric. You get that quote once a week, and I think it has been misappropriated over time to basically imply sometimes gut-feeling-driven visionary decisions are better than customer-led decisions, whereas I don't think the two have to be mutually exclusive or should ever be mutually exclusive.
In your opinion, what do companies need to change to the scale voice of customer programs across not just product, but like other teams and business units? How do you incorporate VOC into a company that's not 50 or 100 people, but hundreds or thousands of people?
Yeah, I think that's a difficult one. For starters, I've always had a little bit of a problem with the whole concept of a VOC program. It implies it's something that you do once in a while. It's very defined time frame. I do think there's merit in saying there should just be this underlying VOC-centric mindset throughout a business. So you talked about smaller businesses. Of course, that's going to be easier. I think it's just being customer-focused, being customer-led, and we consciously say customer-led because it's not about being customer-centric, but customer-led, is something that you need to build into the culture of your company. And I think that's very difficult to do in a very large company, but there are some things you can do to help facilitate that. In hundreds and thousands of employees, I think, first of all, having a single source of truth is going to get you very, very far. So that's why you see, I mean, of course, we're also a research repository, but you see a lot of other solutions in the market that facilitate this, which is to essentially bring all your data into one place. I think that's a starting point, because the bigger the organization, the more important it is that you build that compound effect of just getting more and more information together. The second is building internal guidelines. So we work with companies like PostNL, which is the post of the Netherlands. It's a really interesting use case because everyone in the Netherlands is their customer. So there's no segmentation there. It's really everyone in this country is their customer. And they build all kinds of internal guidelines, and they do internal webinars and learning sessions all around this idea of how do we bring voice of the customer, brand, and vision-driven initiatives, and then the logistical initiatives of being a postal service, how do we bring that all together in an effective process? So I think a lot of internal education, a lot of internal communication, and a single source of truth can get you a far way.
So, you know, we said sales should be recording their calls. Customer success, customer support should be looking at their tickets and summarizing what customers are talking about. When it doesn't happen, someone probably should be accountable for and own making sure that this data is being collected and shared. So in your opinion, who is accountable for the collection and distribution of VOC data?
Yeah, that's super hard. I would love to say it's the UX research team or it's the CX team, but these teams are so differently defined in different companies. And in practice, I've just known that in most companies, there's just someone or a set of people who come up and say, we care about this a lot. I do think that ultimately, I understand someone in sales, their main job is to sell. I understand that. So I think it needs to be easy for them to record their conversations, right? Set up the CRM, right? Set up your integrations with Gong or Aircall or whatever you're using. Make that streamlined, make that easy. They don't have to go through the effort. Although I think you can definitely convince salespeople that there's a benefit in doing so. It's important to make it easy. And then it should be, I think, the teams that are most directly and tangibly involved in essentially converting customer insights into decisions. So it could be a few different departments. I think some companies, they have this kind of cross-departmental CX approach, which can be very nice. I think UX teams are very good. CS can also be an interesting team to look towards, but it should really be the team that, there should just be a fundamental team that's looking at, we understand the customer, we're making decisions based on that. And then all the other teams should benefit as a byproduct of that.
Okay, well, let's continue that thought. So all teams should benefit. So let's just say we'll pick customer support. They've got tons of support tickets. They're hearing about competitors. They're hearing about pricing. They're hearing about product problems. They're hearing about system stability and reliability. So what? How does that get shared in any meaningful way across the organization? You know, you actually said this earlier, the way that you take action matters. But in order to take action, the data has to be formatted in a way that people can digest it and use it for decision-making. So how do you think about going from data collection and repository to action? What's the format to do that effectively? And how do you hold others accountable to making sure they made decisions with that data?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm super biased. I don't think there is a great solution for this or wasn't a great solution for this, which is what we're trying to build with Reveal, is a solution that allows you to do this, which allows you to bring your data into one place, map it onto your customer journeys, your personas, get a good understanding, and then take action on it, spot opportunities. What we do is we allow you to essentially take all of these different comments, attach sentiments to them, map them on customer journeys, and you can basically see the sentiment of the journey evolve based on the aggregate of these data points that you gather. And that's one way that we think you could spot opportunities and take action. It's something that teams already do, just sometimes they're doing it between Notion, Miro, and four or five other tools. The key here is that if you are a, let's say, a UX research team, let's take that as an example, you should be looking at the customer support tickets as equally, potentially equally valuable as a lot of the user tests or user interviews that you're conducting. So I think that's the starting point. Then how, I don't know if, I wasn't sure if the question included, how does that benefit support? Because I guess the key here would be, maybe certain learnings teach you that a better help desk functionality would prevent you from getting the same requests over and over again. Maybe you're getting a lot of requests that are already addressed within the platform, and it's more of a communication informational challenge than a platform challenge or a tooling challenge or a feature challenge. In which case, better help desk articles, better in-app onboarding if you're a SaaS application, I'm taking that as an example. But there's a lot of things you can do to then relieve the stress of a customer support team. Even just things like running this information through a central team that's focused on strategy and deciding to change your pricing model to, I don't know, remove customer support, live customer support from a lower tier plan, for example. There's so many things you can do, but they're only going to work if you really have a full understanding of the implications of the decisions you take. And I think voice of the customer then can serve as either a driver of those decisions or at least as a validating factor in those decisions. And the key is bring it all into one place and then synthesize it down.
I think that's a really good philosophy, is get all the customer feedback collated into one place, organized by interesting journey points like onboarding or, you know, preparing for a renewal or interactions with the product. You're the CEO of Reveal. How will you validate that your senior executive team is making decisions with that data? Because they could be making decisions without the data. And how will you know that they made it with the right data?
Yeah, so I think it starts here that companies that don't want to do this, I don't have good advice for. When I was in marketing, people would be like, well, what if my manager doesn't want to invest in this? Then I don't know is the reality. I just don't have an answer for that. For companies that don't want to do this, they shouldn't pretend to want to be customer focused or customer led. I think that's basically what it boils down to. Where companies want to be, and that's more common cases, the latter, that companies, they want to be customer led, but currently it's just a little bit too difficult. Information is siloed and spread all over the place. It's difficult to, you know, like no CEO or CFO or CPO wants to jump into a 50-page transcript, and no one wants that. So you do need people dedicated to centralizing and synthesizing information and focusing on key takeaways. I think that's really important. The way that I can do it, I mean, I'm in the luxury that, you know, this is the essence of my company. So we've done this from day one. So we've made organizational design decisions that facilitate this. For example, customer support and customer success sit in the product team at Reveal. They're part of the product department. They don't report to me. They report to the CPO, my co-founder. So for us, the lines between customer feedback and conversations and decision-making are really, really tight. And I see it more and more that as teams become, companies become more cross-functional, companies become more remote, companies, the lines between departments are blurring more and more. I think there is an opportunity here for teams to just collaborate on these insights together as well.
Mm-hmm. And I would say 98% of CEOs will say they are customer-focused and they are customer-led. But when you look at how they actually operate their business, it's not, I mean, they're leaving so much on the table. So in terms of, you know, structure, core values, is there any structure that you're putting in place to reinforce the usage of this customer data in decision making? Like, is there anything like that in place today?
Yeah, so I think we also build the product around this idea that you need to centralize your information, you need to then synthesize it, spot the opportunities, and then you need to get the takeaways. And I think that's really it. All these customers, these 93% of customer CEOs that are founders that you're saying are customer focused. If you go to them with a key set of takeaways and insights from your customers and you say, look, we've spoken to this many customers over the years. This has been kind of proactive through research and reactive through customer support and feedback. Here are some of the key takeaways that keep recurring. They keep coming up. And then you have visual reports and video snippets of customers sharing that feedback. And you can really show them those key takeaways. I think that's really what it's all about. That's what they're currently missing. So I think already just centralizing and synthesizing this information gets you half of the way. And most companies don't do this, by the way. Only like 10, 15, 20% of companies do this effectively. And then you need to go from that to really thinking, okay, what am I going to do with this? And here I think journey mapping is a really powerful tool. And generally just what we want you to be able to do is essentially just synthesize, get your key takeaways, your key data points, highlight them, and then convert them into actions, just based directly, just create actions based on them and send them straight into whatever other tool you're using, like Jira or whatever. The key is streamlining that process. And the way we do it is we use our tool, but we think that the process can exist regardless of whether you're using our tool or not. But that's what you need to do. You need to bring stakeholders the simple synthesized facts. That's the key.
Okay. Yeah. Great. So you've learned a lot about VOC through the building of this company. If you could go back in time and give yourself some advice about building VOC, what would it be?
I don't know if we've been around long enough for me to go that far back and say I can give myself advice, but I think the key would be to find a healthy balance between your vision and your customer's input from day one. And I think we've managed to do that relatively early compared to a lot of companies, but maybe not as ideally as I would have liked to, because that is hard. One of the things, I'll give a concrete example, when we very early stage started and we talked about what we're building to, for example, investors, we were so practical and in the moment. We were talking about the next 5 weeks, not the next 5 years. And I think that's something where having that healthy balance, you should have a strong vision. You should have strong ideas on what you're building or what you're going to do differently. And VOC in no way would be a hindrance to that. It can only reinforce how you do it effectively. And I think just having that strong relationship and that strong balance from day one can be really, really effective.
All right. Awesome. Last question. What's your opinion about how VOC will change in the next 5 years?
I think it's one of those things where probably the principles are not going to change too much, but the technologies are likely going to change. I think the extent to which we can leverage the customer's voice is probably going to accelerate. It's funny. VOC is one of those concepts. It's not a new thing, but it's having this rebirth. It's coming back as a fundamental part. It's also really funny. We hear things like the flip side being ethnographic research, which is something that used to be purely dedicated to academia. And now it's something talked about in UX and CX circles, this observational research. And I think we're seeing the proactive desire to be customer led and customer focused and customer obsessed is catching up with the ability to do so. So I think we're going from a lot of companies saying, hey, yeah, we care about knowing our customers, but not really doing much about it, to really starting to systematically do more about it, because there's just amazing tooling and technology that makes that easier than ever before. And I think the same is going to come from VOC. I think probably where we're going to see the biggest innovations might be on sourcing of respondents, which is if you want to expand beyond your current customer base to your potential customers, your potential leads. I think that's going to be an important factor.
And that's it for this week's episode of Nuff Said. To learn more about NuffSed's proactive intelligence platform, you can visit NuffSed.com. That's NuffSaid.com. And you can follow NuffSed on LinkedIn. To tune in to more real customer success strategies, head over to your podcast platform of choice and make sure you're subscribed. Thanks for tuning in. NuffSed.